I once had a conversation with a man who had a family. He had mentioned that him and his wife had four kids, and they had, over the years, they had adopted 10 more. So I'm doing the math, it's 14 kids. Quite a sight at the dinner table, or breakfast too as well. He even told me that at one time that all the kids were teenagers. Can you imagine 14 teenagers in one household? So I did have to ask him. I said, well, how do you pray for all your kids? And he told me, as he was a believer, he said, I pray for one thing, and that is wisdom. I thought about it. And at the time, Julie and I were just starting our family, and I said, should I be praying for wisdom for my kids? And then I thought about it some more. I shouldn't just pray for wisdom for my kids. I should pray for wisdom for myself, for Julie and myself. And I thought about it, I said, I should pray wisdom for all. What exactly is wisdom? Where does it originate? And I often notice that as I serve the Lord here in the church, especially as we gather to talk about ministry, one of the number one things that we usually pray for is for wisdom. And so sometimes I think, what are we actually praying for? Should we continue to pray for, especially wisdom, not only for individually, not only for our kids, and for ourselves as parents, but also as a church? And this leads us to our passage today. And so if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Today we'll make the biblical case that will be presented by which a message is entitled A Proverbial Consideration. And so you would note in terms of what is going to be expressed here, one of the key words here is wisdom, and the other, of course, phrase is found in the last verse. The word of the Lord reads, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instructions in wise dealing and righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear, increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And may the Lord add his blessings to both the reading and the preaching of his word. You know, at a glance in this passage, it's very clear that the book of Proverbs is introducing its own self. These are the introductory remarks within the first seven verses. So there's no guessing what this book is about. There's no guessing the direction of this book, what it's for. It's all very clear, as outlined here in the first seven verses. Today I realize that there's some young people in the audience, and usually when I teach some of the young people, even the young at heart, just try to keep it very simple. So I want to boil it down to five words for you to follow. The word basic, benefits, beneficiaries, battle, and blessing. Five words. Basic, benefits, beneficiaries, battle, and blessings. Our verse starts off with the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And so let's go to the basic. What is the basic definition for Proverbs, for the term proverb? The word proverb literally means a very short saying that is very easy to remember. It is the same word in Hebrew that also could mean to rule or to govern over. So Proverbs is a short saying of practical perspective that governs our lives. But when you consider the context which gives these instructions, it's really how to live in light of the Lord God. So you have as a frame, as well as the divine inspiration, that gives us this framework, the basic definition of what Proverbs is. It is a short saying that expresses a truth for practical, godly living. So what is the basic definition for the term Proverbs? It is a short saying that expresses a general truth for practical, godly living. And if you want to make it simple, it's a short saying for godly living. Very simple. That is your basic definition of the term Proverbs. Now in verse 1, it credits King Solomon, who was the wisest of the land, who wrote over 3,000 Proverbs and 1,005 songs, according to Scripture. But not all these 3,000 Proverbs that he wrote are in the book of Proverbs. King Solomon is one of several contributors to the book of Proverbs. So you could say it could very well be his collection, of course, by divine design and inspiration of God. So in the verses following, notice the word for that gives us our purpose. It's very clear and very concise where this book is going and what Proverbs is for us. So this is why it's written. Take a look at the benefits of Proverbs in verses 2-4. We already covered the basic. Now we're taking a look at what is the benefits. And so the benefits starts off as to know wisdom and instructions, to understand words of insights. And so we read right off the top of the bat, is to give us wisdom. And what is wisdom? In the Hebrew word, it mentions in terms of the nuance of skill, as a craftsman, skilled in the work that he does. It's a skill of choosing the right course of action for a desired result. And so in the covenantal framework of Proverbs, it is wisdom is the skill or the art of godly living. And so one of the benefits of the book of Proverbs is for us practically live in light of the Lord. The skill in the art of godly living. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing the right thing to say and when to say it. Wisdom, as you find in the book of Proverbs, is using your money thoughtfully and generously, whether you're rich or poor. Wisdom, again, you find it in the book of Proverbs, is channeling the God-given emotions, both in constraint as well as the fullest expression to the glory of God. Wisdom is making the most of your time in light of eternity. Wisdom is seeing something from God's viewpoint as well as doing accordingly in light of God's perspective. The other day I was reading a quote from John Montgomery Boyce, and although he wrote this several decades ago, it still has relevance for today. He said it is probably safe bet to say that most people today are not much interested in wisdom. They are interested in making money and in having a good time. Some are interested in knowing something and getting an education, and almost everyone wants to be well-liked. But wisdom, the pursuit of wisdom, is not a popular ideal. Proverbs gives us wisdom. It helps us to live a godly life. Proverbs also, one of the benefits for Proverbs is also gives us understanding that leads into insights. The word understanding in our text here describes a depth of knowledge that means more than just awareness. It's simply like having tools in the toolbox or in the garage. It's one thing to know what it's for. It's another thing to know how to use it. Proverbs benefits gives us insights on how to live in a godly way, in an honorable manner before the Lord. A Proverbs benefits us to give insights for living. We have a deeper understanding in terms of how life works and how we can live to God's glory. It challenges us. Even in Proverbs chapter 6, to give you an example, it tells us to go to an ant. O sluggard, O lazy one, consider her ways and be wise. The prophet goes on, without any chief officer or ruler, the ant prepares the bread in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. It gives us perspective, daily living, making the most of our time, living in light of eternity. Proverbs is also not only for understanding that leads to insight, but it is for instructions. That's one of the benefits. It gives us instructions. Usually when we think of instructions, we think in the academic realm or circle. We think in terms of what we learn in the classroom or what we read for a class. But instructions have a deeper side of meaning. It means discipline. It means correction. It even means leads to even punishment. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Whoever hates reproof is stupid. Proverbs is offering us the benefits of both reproof as well as correction. Scripture. Proverbs is part of Scripture. Scripture offers us teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And if you heard that phrase before, it's found in 2 Timothy 3:16, which says that all Scripture is inspired by God. And so maybe we have to just pause for a moment. If we think that if Proverbs is for instruction, and that means discipline, it means to be corrected. In general, how do we respond when we are being corrected? Doesn't matter who we're being corrected, whether it's our spouse, even sometimes we're corrected by our little ones. How do you respond when you're being corrected in general? But then when we think even deeper, how do we respond to Scripture when it rebukes us? You know, sometimes it's very easy to say and come into a Bible study or come into church and think, teach me something new, right? To some extent, we do want to learn some things new. But sometimes it's not always the new. It's the old. And time again, we need to learn these lessons again and again. And sometimes Scripture is reproving us. We need to be corrected. We need to be instructed. So how do we respond to Scripture, to its instruction, when it's correcting us? We receive instructions, and the purpose is for prudent behavior. In other words, we would walk in a manner worthy of his calling. To receive instruction is also good for wise dealing, as our passage says, in righteousness and justice and equity. The benefits of Proverbs is the wisdom, which is the cornerstone of justice and politics and ethics. And Solomon knew that very well. One of the most respected and regarded political leaders, as chronicled in the Old Testament, and you can read more about it in 1 Kings, had much to do with his wisdom that was bestowed upon him by God. The wisdom helped him mitigate disputes right off the bat in chapter 3 of 1 Kings. It helped him to not only sustain his particular kingdom in chapter 4, as chronicled in 4, but also to expand his rule and his kingdom. And in chapter 5, it talks about how wisdom also played a part in terms of him building the temple in Jerusalem towards the glory of God. This wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, was also given to Joseph in Egypt. And you remember Joseph, it enabled him to not only interpret dreams, but also more significantly to rule in Egypt, to save it from the most severe droughts and provide for the nations, not only in his country, but also all the nations surrounding. God's spirit, or the spirit of wisdom, anoints other leaders as well. You read about it in Samuel, you read about it in Daniel. And most notably, in the future, or the messianic rule of Christ. Isaiah chapter 11, the first two verses, it says this: There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its root shall bear fruit. And you notice in verse 2 that I'm just about to read, a number of different words that also are repeated here in Proverbs. Isaiah 11:2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." The Lord Jesus would even describe himself as the wisdom of God. So what are the benefits of wisdom in Proverbs? Well, I just said it: wisdom, knowledge, understanding, instruction. And even when we think about knowledge, we think about that everything starts with God. Sometimes we think we could make it up as we go, design our own ways, but we'd be foolish not to consider our designer, our creator, our maker. Reality is not made to order or make it up as we go. God has given us some perspective and some guidelines, and we are born in a pre-existing order that God created long ago. And we need to know what the order is and how it works in our identity, in our relationship, in every aspect of our lives, so that we could minimize the mistakes that we commonly make. Wisdom gives us perspective in terms of God's redemption of the world, and the means by which we live out our redeemed lives in a fallen world. So we have taken a look at the basic meaning. We have taken a look at terms of the benefits that Scripture, Proverbs, offers us. Who are the beneficiaries that are listed? The beneficiaries are listed in verses 4 to 6. It says, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise listen and add to their learning, let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the saying and the riddles of the wise. So simply put, in verses 4 and 6, who are the beneficiaries? Proverbs is for everyone, to the beginners, to the advanced, to the young, and we never like to say old, the young at heart. Proverbs are those who are simple. And so, what do we mean by simple? Simple are the ones that are gullible, naive, easy to be swayed. And if you're not simple, well, actually, if you think about simple, simple's not in the wise category. But you could say that, if anything, it would be in the foolish category. Proverbs is for you to grow out of being simple and to be wise. Proverbs is for the young. And everybody likes, of course, everybody likes to be young. But notice one of the things that you'll see in the book of Proverbs, the narrative that's given out, the father's instructions to the son. Also, even the mother's instructions to the son. If you think about it, the book of Proverbs, like any other book of the Bible, is great discipleship material, especially for families, especially for us, as even for the wise, as we continue to grow, we could continue to grow in discernment. We could even grow in more understanding, even as we understand the proverbs and the parables, the saying and riddles. And so, if you want to learn to live the way that God intends, then Proverbs is for you. And so, the beneficiaries, it's for everyone. For the young, for the beginners, to the advanced, for all. So now that we have the basics, now that we have the benefits and the beneficiaries, now let's consider the battle that's taking place within Proverbs. Verse 7, the second part of verse 7, well, let's just read the first 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of, beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Right away, right, do you see right there, there is a resistance. There is opposition. Wisdom is given. Instruction is given. But there is resistance. Every one of us has resisted or rejected at one time or another. And let me put it in the Proverbs way. There is the way of the wisdom, way of wisdom, and the way of folly. Wisdom, in chapter 9, kind of gives its, there's kind of like this scene that's played out between wisdom and folly. And so wisdom is saying to the one who doesn't have who lacks sense at the end of chapter 9. And again, by the way, just to introduce the chapter 9 and actually the verses, the chapter before, the father is pleading for the son to consider wisdom. And then it culminates on this drama that's taking place between folly and wisdom. And so wisdom is saying to the simple, to the one who lacks sense, says, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine that I have mixed, leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insights. And then folly has its turn. Folly is loud and boisterous and even seductive. It says, whoever is simple, let him turn here. And to him who lacks sense, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And then comes the dramatic close in chapter 9 that says this. But he who does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. So just to let you know, when it comes to foolishness, it lacks the ability to discern what is good and what is evil. It is a sin to be a fool. Taken from another wisdom literature in Psalm 14, it says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Consider a scene in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden. Remember, Adam and Eve were prohibited the access to the tree of knowledge, both good and evil. God did not put a tree there for just an arbitrary rule, but the purpose was simple. That only God determines what is good and what is evil. It's not for us to decide. Instead of trusting in the counsel of God, Adam and Eve trusted in the voice of the serpent and subsequently did what they thought was right in their eyes in hopes or in desires, as chronicled in Genesis, of being wise. But it was foolish. Throughout mankind, you see it played out again and again. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes, as the book of Judges tells us. There is a defiance in it of the fool. I will do it my way. I will live my life accordingly outside your boundaries of your word. Foolishness in Genesis and Proverbs always leads to death. And so maybe we have to pause here and just ask ourselves, have we recognized our own foolishness before the Lord God Almighty? There is a battle that's being played out here between folly and wisdom that's portrayed in Proverbs. It's also portrayed in our society, but if we look deep within, sometimes it's portrayed in our lives. But there is hope, and there is blessing. And the blessing starts with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's an idea in terms of the beginning, not only chronologically, that's where it starts, but not just chronologically, but foundationally, that's where it also lies, or that is the piece, the cornerstone of knowledge. And of course, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why should we fear the Lord? We should fear the Lord because of his matchless power as the creator, designer, sustainer of all things and all people. Why should we fear the Lord? We should fear the Lord because he's the God of justice, who will someday judge the entire human race. And that, in and of itself, should produce I should fear the Lord more than the mic. It's a sobering and absolute truth that God is actively and constantly aware of our actions and motives. And we're all held accountable to both our attitudes and actions. And one day we will face judgment. We should fear the Lord not just because he is holy and just, but that he's also loving and forgiving. And despite our foolishness, God has provided us Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our foolishness, our sin. He took the wrath that we deserve that we might become his righteousness. And so maybe we need to pause and think for ourselves, have we considered the wisdom of God, and that is Jesus Christ? The blessing behind the fear of the Lord. God wants you to live in his wisdom. God desires to live in Christ. And so Proverbs are practical ways that directs us to choose Christ. We can choose Christ in how we express our words, how we express our emotions, we can choose Christ and how we relate to one another in friendships and relationships, how we parent, how we live in our marriage. We can choose Christ in our pursuits and also in terms of our stewardship. To study and apply Proverbs is really how we can live for Jesus, because wisdom considers the means by which we live out our redeemed lives in a fallen world. Let me close with this. God wants us, both the preaching and the people of this church, to live, to display his glory to the nation. And let me close with this verse found in Ephesians 7 through 10. Paul said, "Of this gospel I was made the minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the understandable, unsearchable riches of Christ and bring to light for everyone what is plain, what is his plan for the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God now be made known to the rulers and authority in the heavenly places." And so when we think about the wisdom that prescribes here in Proverbs, it's not just the impact in terms of your lives to live in a godly and honorable way, but to proclaim his message throughout the whole earth. And so let us do so, and let us present Christ to all. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, Father, we just come before you. And Father, we do just evaluate our lives, and we know that there's times that we have lived quite foolishly. We don't always make the most of our times to your glory. We don't always respond to reproof, to being corrected, and especially, Father, from your word. Father, it is our desire to live in honor and fear of you. And so, Father, help us to do so. Continue to encourage us. Empower us, Father, to live to your glory. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare for communion, one, if you don't have some of the elements, we do have it passing around, but I also just